You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Blind Man's Bluff. I want to talk today about the difference that prayer can make and what it is that we are praying for each other and for ourselves, and how that can change literally the way we read the scriptures and whether we understand the scriptures or not or get this stuff. And one of the great confusions for me growing up, and a lot of people I talk to, and we go through this occasionally, I'll talk about this along the way, is that they say, okay, I got a Bible, and I open my Bible and I read my Bible, and I go to Bible studies and somebody teaches the Bible, and it's just like all I'm getting is information. I can tell you, you know, that Joan of Arc was not Noah's wife. You know, I know enough about the Bible to know that. I can tell you about Zacchaeus and something about a tree. And there are people who don't know anything about the Bible, but some people think, well, yeah, I know something about the Bible. I can tell you about Noah. I can tell you about the Garden of Eden. They know the stories. And one of the challenges for kids that grow up in church is too many times we are teaching them stories. But when they get out into the world or they grow up, they say, okay, I know some Bible stories, but I don't know why they're important. It's a so what? And they get in a classroom in a college situation and a teacher says, well, do you believe in God? Yes. And they say, well, why? And they say, well, because my mom and dad raised me in the church. But they have no answer. They have no understanding. They have no wisdom to come back with. And there is a whole lot more, guys. And as we study the scriptures on a Sunday and in our Bible studies as a church, and as you read it privately, you cannot go at this book by yourself just to learn. There are churches out there that exists, and I'm not trying to be critical here, but there are certain denominations or even just groups of churches that their whole purpose is to study the scriptures, and they will describe, we want to go deeper in the Bible and learn more about the Bible. You can only dig so deep, but apart from the Spirit of God, you're not going to get any more. You can only chop up a Greek word so many ways. You can only diagram so many sentences. You can only get so much in your brain before you realize, okay, I know the stuff, but why is all this knowledge, this information? And I'm not anti-learning, but at some point you've got to get to the place and say, God, all this information is not leading to any transformation in my life. And there are people who go to churches and they listen to sermons and Bible studies and they get very frustrated and they fall away because they go, this isn't working. I'm still kind of empty. There's no joy. There's no peace. This stuff is not working. I don't know how to apply these truths, these stories to my life. Now, I'm going to tell you, before we even get in here, it is possible to change that. And God the Father gets a lot of press. God the Son, Jesus Christ, gets a lot of press. But the Holy Spirit, he's pretty quiet. But the Spirit of God is the person in the Trinity, and as we'll see in a minute, who can open the eyes of your heart, literally. And when you read the scriptures, you go, oh my gosh, there's something there I never saw. And I've been trying to figure out how to describe this, and without embarrassing my wife, I met my wife. I saw my wife, okay? The first time I saw her, I was like 19 years old and didn't marry her till I was 20-something, kind of didn't know her really well. But we see people, and for some reason, physically, they're attractive to us maybe, and that sparks an interest. I could describe you, I can tell you where there's scars from a ski accident on her leg. If she were dead and burned, I could probably identify certain things on her body, attributes, her hair, different things about her. But you know what? My wife is not the sum total of her physical attributes. And what frustrates a lot of women is men come along and say, well, wow, you're hot, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, you're whatever. But a woman says, okay, great, but this is all going to change. I want you to know me. My wife is creative. I mean, I could tell you all these things are things that if you met her and just saw her, you would not know any of these things unless you spent time and got to know her. And there's got to be a line that we cross with God. I have a lot of information about you, but you know what? This isn't working. I want to know you. And when I open the scriptures, I don't want to just be able to tell people facts about you. I want to tell them if you love me, why you love me, how you love me. I want this book to come alive in my own life so when someone else hears it and even prays it over me, they go, oh my gosh, what was that? Now let's jump in here at Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. And I'm not going to go jump in here and give you all the technical stuff here. I'm going after a phrase or two in here. But this passage deals with Messiah. It's a messianic passage about Jesus who would come eventually. In verse 1, it says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And if you even go into Solomon, what did Solomon ask for first? God said, you can have anything you want. And he said, give me wisdom, give me understanding about how to rule a people. But whoever this is talking about here, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes. How much time do we spend judging people by what we see? Nor decide by the hearing of the ears what we see and what we hear. We just sum people up and say, well, that's who you are, by what I see and what I hear. There's more to somebody than that. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And it goes on. You can read it on your own time there if you want to finish that. Go to John chapter 14. John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You are not going to learn much from Scripture in the things of God without a teacher, and the Holy Spirit is the teacher. Now, he's got assistant teachers, and there are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit who may be facilitating a small group or a Bible study or preaching or whatever, and God can use them, but you're not going to get anything out of this book without the Holy Spirit doing the teaching. And if someone goes into the process and says, well, I'm smart and I'm intellectual and I've got mental acumen or, you know, whatever you think you are, and you go at it and say, I'm going to study it and then I'm going to teach it, and you leave the Holy Spirit out, you are dead in the water, and everyone you teach is going to be dead in the water. And you may leave smarter and with more information, but you will not leave with much transformation, because only the teacher, the Holy Spirit himself, can make sense of this stuff. And in the same way that my wife is not just a physical person, there is stuff about her that she has to reveal to me that I have to see in her to get past just that outside, the veneer of who you are and these truths, these facts in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who can literally open your eyes and let you see into the Scriptures and see into this treasure what is there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I may read a little bit more in this passage. And let's just start with verse 1, just a few pages to the right. Paul is just oozing with the truths of what he knows, and this is not just intellectual assent to Paul. He knows God loves him. He knows he's had an encounter with the God of the universe. He knows he lives in him and through him, and it's changed his life. And so he describes some of this relationship. Look at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. And he was educated. He said, but I didn't come to you trying to wow you with my words. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now let me stop here and give you a test for me. If I get up here and try to wow you with my words, or someone that's teaching you in any situation, seminary, Bible study, anywhere, let me tell you what you ought to look for. He says, I came to you with my speech was not with persuasive words in human wisdom, but what? In demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Do you sense when you hear someone speak the power of God and the Spirit of God at work in the situation and in your life included? And if you don't, something's not right. You're just getting information. Verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard,
nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That by itself, there's a sermon right there. Now, we could dissect that and you can say, okay, well, it says their eye is not seen. So nobody's seen it. Nobody's heard about it. It's not even entered into the heart of man. Nobody's even imagined what? The things which God has prepared for those who love him. Those are the facts of the verse. But what is the truth of the verse? You get your teeth into this and start to pray through it and think about it and say, God, what are you talking about there? And you begin to discover that what he has prepared for us is beyond anything anybody has ever seen, heard of, imagined. It's incredible. And all of a sudden, that gets a hold of you, and that's something to live for. That'll change your life. You say, God, but I live in this situation and I got problems and a marriage and stepkids and an ex-wife and we're broke and I'm working three jobs and I can't do this anymore. And then all of a sudden you remember, yeah, but don't forget, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. You're not stuck here forever. I got something for you. And there's a lot of it in this life, but there's a lot in the hereafter as well. Look at verse 10. All these truths then, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, if you want to know what God was thinking, what's going on with God, then the Spirit of God is the one that's going to reveal to you the things of God in the same way that the Spirit, the life that is really in me, knows who I am and what's going on in here. So you say, well, if I want to know God, I'm going to have to get the Spirit of God who lives in me if I'm a Christian. And if he lives in me, then he can reveal this stuff and show me what's going on and what this is really all about. Verse 12 again, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, I don't know how much sense this is going to make. I'm throwing it out here, but there is more to being a Christian than you ever imagined. And as cool as it is to hear the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead, and come to an understanding, and there's a certain amount of spiritual revelation that comes with just that. You say, I know for a fact, I understand, if I drop dead today, I'll go to heaven. That's amazing. But there is so much more. I've used this to try to describe it before. If I said to you, I say, have you ever been to the ocean? You say, no. And there's a lot of people never seen the ocean. Oh my gosh, you can't imagine the ocean. It's wide and it's deep and it's as far as the eye can see. And I could use all the words and tell you what was in it with words, but there's nothing like seeing the ocean. So I load you up in a car and we take a trip and I take you to the beach. And I've had this experience myself after not going to the beach in a long time. And you park your car and you walk up, you know, some sand, a little boardwalk, something, and you come up over a dune and then boom, there it is in front of you. And all of a sudden you go, wow, there's the ocean. I've seen the ocean. And you think, well, not really, but I have technically. And then you go down to the beach and you step your feet in the ocean and you walk into the ocean and you stand there up to your ankles and you go, now I've been in the ocean. That's true, but have you seen the ocean? And some Christians get up to the beach and they see it and they're wowed by the ocean and then they step in the ocean and then they say, well, I've done it. I'm here now. I've seen it. I've done it. I've experienced the ocean. What I'm saying to you is get you some tanks. Get you some goggles. You say, well, I don't have tanks. Then let's start out, just swim a little bit. It's amazing what you find just swimming a little bit. And then you say, well, get me some snorkel. And then you look down and you can see it just from the surface. And then you say, no, I do want some tanks. And then you go down and you realize there are people that get submarines and they still haven't seen the ocean. And they find things nobody didn't know existed. Knowing God is like trying to attack the ocean. You've got to keep going. There is more there. And you say, well, I'm done just on the beach. That's not God's fault. He is an ocean of mystery. And not just information. It would be like back to my wife. I say, well, I can tell you when she was born, which I won't reveal that publicly. And that's what you call wisdom right there. Some of this is already applying to my own life. I can tell you facts about her. But you know what? The longer I know this woman, the more I know her. And the physical stuff may change. But the goal is to what? To get to the end of your life. And if you have the blessing, the privilege of spending 20, 30, 40, 50 years with somebody, it's not even about the shell anymore. It's about that person that you got to know. And if I had stopped and said, oh, you know what? I don't want to go farther than this. We can be physical together. We can go on trips, but I don't want to talk about anything deep. I don't want to go past this point. What would you miss out on? And then you see these couples who don't even speak anymore. They look at each other and know things. There aren't even words to express the things they can say with their eyes because they know each other. And to be able to get to the place with God in a quiet place somewhere, and almost words are not necessary, and your heart is communicating with His heart, and there are things that you read in the Scripture, I'm telling you, I think I might have me a snorkel. That's about all I'm into this. But He's baiting me. And there are times when I read this book and things happen that I never experienced when I was just gathering information. And I read it and something will just go, boom, almost knock me down. It's a hidden treasure in a verse I had seen my whole life, but I had not dug it up. I had not allowed the Spirit of God to reveal something to me that was buried there that I had to go to Him to find. And you go to the Scripture and you say, God, I know there's more here. For a fact, I'm positive there's more here than just these facts. You got to talk to me or I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to make it. And you go digging. You know, if you go digging for gold, most people don't just go blowing on the ground. Oh, well, I guess there's nothing here. Now, every once in a while, someone says to me, well, I want to go deeper. I want to dig deeper. Then I'm listening with the Holy Spirit involved in the process. Because if you go digging deeper, you can get you some seminary Greek professor to help you dig. You're going to get nothing but more information. You better get you a shovel with the Holy Spirit's name written on it and say, this is what's going to unearth this stuff. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I'm about to read you some verses that if you want to know what to pray for yourself, you want to know what to pray for your wife, you want to know what to pray for your future husband, your future wife, you want to know what to pray for your children, you want to know what to pray for your parents, you want to know what to pray for anybody. You don't know what to pray for people? I'm about to read you something. You can read it right out of the Bible, and here's something to pray. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and following, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So every spiritual blessing, everything you want and you really need, whether you know it or think it or not, is where? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You are not going to get there without the Spirit of God. And then he goes on talking about how that he chose us, that we should be holy without blame before him, describing who we are in Christ. And then go down to verse 15. Therefore, because of all of this that God has done and where all this is and what's happened, he says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith, this church at Ephesus, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, which that should be basic, okay? I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a Christian, and your love for all the saints. You know what? Most churches don't get past that. I got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I got love for only a select group of people. You bring a bunch of whatever's in here, poor, black, white, Hispanic, something outside of my realm, you know what? I don't have love for them. You are dead in the water right there. You don't have love for all the saints, you're in trouble. You will not get any farther. You can accumulate all the information you want, but you will never taste of what follows here. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is what he prays, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Do you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him? How are you going to have wisdom in the things of God and get revelation and understand the Word of God and the things of God if you don't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God? You're not, and you don't, and you won't. So when you sit down to read the Scriptures, I'm suggesting that you sit down before you do anything else, make sure there's no sin in your life because that's going to clog things up. Get that straight. And if you go to study the Scripture, then start out by saying, Father, I am praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And look what he goes on to say. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Then look at the three things he's mentioned there. Your eyes are going to be open and you're going to know what? The hope of his calling. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, to boil this down, in the time we've got to keep this simple,
you say, okay, God, I got kids, and I'm trying my best to raise my kids. We're going to raise them in church. We're going to teach them Bible stories. We're going to try to apply principles in our home and in their lives. But what's missing here? There is a spiritual element that the Holy Spirit of God himself is going to have to open the eyes of their understanding, or they're not going to get it. So you're begging God and saying, please, God, don't just let our lives communicate information, but let them see the transformation in my life and in our lives and open their little eyes, the eyes of their heart. You're not going to seem without the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your spiritual man being opened. Now let me read these one more time all together. That he may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Now, how much power does he have working in our direction? He describes it. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. If all you get out of this is this, one of the things we don't understand, I think, is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is operational in my life, or it is not operational in my life. You say, well, I don't feel like I can do anything. I pray it goes nowhere. Then say, God, help me see and understand scripturally and spiritually what is going on here. That when I pray, I have access to the same dynamite, the dunamis, this power that you use to raise Jesus from the dead. That is what's going on with me. If he can raise the dead with that power, what can you do in your life with it? What's the sin you struggle with? You got power in you, spiritual power that can raise the dead. It can overcome anything you face. But you're going to have to figure out where this truth is, how to apply it to your life, and it may require someone else to help you, but at least pray that God will reveal it to you along the way. Verse 20 again, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
I looked up the definition of blind man's bluff, and I spent too many years playing blind man's bluff. And the way I see it and the way I describe it, I'll just read you this definition. Blind man's bluff is a children's game in which one player, designated as it, you're it, is either blindfolded or closes his or her eyes. The it player gropes around blindly and attempts to touch the other players. Now, you say, well, my eyes are wide open. I say, no, your eyes are wide shut. Your physical eyes may be wide open, but are your spiritual eyes wide open where you can see, where you have revelation, you have wisdom, where you can understand? You say, well, you're talking about a bunch of spooky stuff. It's spiritual stuff. The natural mind is not going to discern this stuff. You're going to have to cross some lines and say, God, open my eyes and let me see what is really going on in my own home, my own life, that it is spiritual battle. We are trying to live the Christian life with our eyes closed, trying to touch other people. And what do we look like? It's silly. And they go, what do you mean? You're trying to help me. You can't even see yourself. And it's a blind man's bluff. We are acting like, we can dress up, we can play the part, say a few words, but the bottom line is, if you're blind, you're just bluffing. And I encourage you to slow down, to stop. I'm not saying don't read your Bible. I'm not saying don't go to these Bible studies, but stop a minute and say, Father, I'm engaging in a process that is more than just information. I'm asking you to open my eyes. Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of you, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened so that this is not just facts, that it starts to come alive in my life. Raise these words from the dead in my own life. Now, y'all are looking at me like, what in the world is he talking about? I'm going to encourage you, even if it doesn't make any sense, to start praying this prayer by faith. If it doesn't make any sense, Just say, God, I don't know that I understand this, but I've been reading the Bible my way or not all these years. I'm going to try it your way. And I'm going to say a simple prayer before I go into the scriptures and say, God, I'm asking you to show me. I've been trying to dig this up in my own power. You got to bring it to life, and let's see if there's a difference.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.